I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Packham, joined this evening by Matt Knight.
Hello.
Jay Cross.
Hi, Mark.
And Joe Branton.
Voila.
How's it going, everyone?
Very good. How are you?
Thank you.
Good, good. Feeling bright and breezy.
Bright and breezy.
Bright, literally, Brighton is quite breezy.
I thought you were really poorly.
I have been a bit ill, but I'm picking it up for the Guitar Nerds viewers. Nice. Thanks for joining us. If you're watching live on ampli.fi/Guitar Nerds, Jay Cross is in the chat as we speak. So if you've got questions, you can submit them on there, or as always, you know, onto the Facebook group and stuff. What's everyone been up to? Has anyone done any interesting guitar-related stuff? Joe Branton, I feel like you
may have
done.
Why are you coming to me? Why not? We're just doing the sort of short version of it. I have done some stuff. I tell you what, I know we're coming to Brand of the Week later, but I'm getting... Brand of the Week is opened up this whole new avenue of me getting really into the whole business end of guitar history. And
pardon?
Well, sort of... the whole like how Fender and Gibson came to monopolize and all the brands, you know, like we've been doing in Brand of the Week, I've been consistently doing like a 60s or 50s-60s brand that sort of fell off. And
yes,
well, it's just funny, like, why all these brands all stopped at the same time, more or less. And it's because this was the time period when Fender and Gibson were sort of coming to be sort of the Leviathan companies that they are now. And it's just really interesting. I'm really enjoying my history, but also it's made me it's given me a bit of an aversion to Fender and Gibson, and I've been getting really into these weird little boutique-y 60s companies, so much so that a couple of days ago I potentially contacted a company and asked to buy two of a particular instrument.
Why would you do that?
Two?
Yes, of something. Well,
because you do like funny tunings and stuff.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Why not? Yeah. Because it's funny tuning. Sure.
Okay.
Sure. That's
so
why.
So, who was this company that you contacted?
Well, it wasn't one of the especially small ones, but I'm getting really into these like weird the companies that aren't so conventional for bass. Like, okay, so all major basses are long scale, 34-inch scales with big tuners. They're solid body, and they have jazz pickups, or they have precision pickups, or they have Music Man pickups.
Yeah.
Right. That is everything. That is
that's
not
cool,
just Fender.
Because I mean, they're all the best things.
Right. Okay. So, but what I like is these cool, quirky, hollow-bodied '60s things with weird scales. String spacings are weird, and the oddest pickups, mostly in like the neck position, you know, and odd finishes and stuff. I'm getting really into that. So anyway, the two that I went for, because I knew that, whilst I have a love for these weird old brands, I knew I needed something that could deal with down-tuning.
Yeah.
The new Dan Electro catalogue.
Okay.
Which, if people haven't checked out yet, you should go on to Dan Electro's new website. They have just released a whole range of new stuff. Did we talk about their new stuff?
Because I think we did.
Because, you know, they're doing Moss Rights now.
Yeah,
they're doing
we did talk about
£1,000.
Yeah, we
Moss
talked about
with Bigsby's. We did talk about it. Oh,
yeah,
okay.
We talked about those.
I completely
maybe
forgot.
You weren't here. It was a while ago they got announced.
Okay.
So
okay, but yeah, super cool. But anyway, they also obviously are doing one of the a long scale DC 59.
That is super cool.
Really cool. I mean, the only person I can think who uses one of those is Fat Mike from NoFX.
The NoFX.
But of course, I would want to put flat rounds on it and play it as it was intended.
Why would you do
that?
But
anyway, they're quite affordable, and they do them in black and that weird copper burst. So I've got hold of the company to say, look, if I bought both,
could I get a deal?
Yeah, so we'll see. We'll see what they get.
Okay.
I'm going to sell some jazz basses. I'm going to have like three.
So, give us a rundown on the spec of the 59. Are they period correct?
So, I mean, they're not period correct, no, because they're long scale. They're 34 inch.
Okay,
so there never was an original 59 in long scale. They were always short scale. In fact, they were extremely short scale, 15 frets.
What?
In fact, yeah.
So, and they, I've seen those. So many? They just have the single neck pickup.
That's... yeah. Yeah,
yeah. Just, what do you do with the other eight?
Yeah, I know, true, yeah. You do only need those first seven. But yeah, so it was just a neck pickup, that's right. That model was released mostly, not under Dan Electro's name, mostly under the Silver...
Yes,
Silver
that's tone. The one that you see frequently, is the Silver Tone single neck pickup.
Exactly.
Really short one.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, so it's not correct in that sense. What they've done is they put a modern bridge on it, because of course Dan Electro suffered from the same problem that slightly puts me off of all those brands, like, you know, Harmony and Hofner and people like that, in that they do those the rosewood bridges with fret wire to secure the strings.
Absolutely useless, basically.
No, fine if you've got a soft touch, which of course everyone back then did, but if you want to play sort of a standard fingerstyle, or if you dig in with a plectrum, that it's a little bit useless. So they have, whilst Dan Electro still use that format on all their short scale stuff, they've changed to a more traditional sort of modern bridge style.
So they've basically made a bass that you can actually play.
Yeah, that looks like a Dan Electro,
regular
yeah.
scale and a decent bridge.
Yeah, it's I think it's absolutely dead cool. Because you guys have had the 59 for guitars for a long time.
Yeah,
but it's just not.
Don't
something.
Look at me.
Well, I had one. It was beautiful.
Did
it's
you?
Great.
Did you actually have one?
I did. Yeah, DC 59.
Yeah. Oh yeah, because you had the ones where they weren't very good. They changed the headstock.
Dreadful.
They changed the headstock, didn't they? They made it slightly angled and they put metal tuners on instead of the...
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I changed mine. I changed the tuners. I stuck some Grovers on there.
Oh, right.
And,
and
it was... It made it so much better. So much better.
That was around the time that they made this fatal error and stopped having, like, chrome hardware and chrome pickups, and they went for, like, a brushed...
Yeah, they were brushed.
...effect. And
it
looks like a plastic guitar.
Yeah,
I mean,
the
rest of it being made of... You know, Masonite doesn't really help.
No.
But it just looked very, very cheap. But you guys have had the 59 for ages, and of course they do the 12-string, the 6-string. They do a hollow body. There's some new stuff in the new series as well. They're doing like a resonator.
Okay.
And they're doing one. You've seen them around. I don't know what they're called, but they're they have a lipstick pickup that straddles an acoustic type hole.
The convertible.
Yeah.
I think that was always called
something like that.
Yeah.
Right.
They've done that guitar for a long time.
Yeah, yeah. It's back in the catalog now,
or it's
remained in the catalog. So that's in very short. That was what I was doing, just getting really excited about guitars and trying to buy some old cool ones. Also. AndyBaxterBass.com. Is everyone familiar with Andy Baxter?
Great website.
It doesn't just do bass. I appreciate most of our listeners and viewers are guitarists. Despite the name Andy Baxter Bass, there is a section on there for guitars. He does incredibly cool, rare, interesting vintage stuff, and splits it down into brands. He has a category called Other, where he always gets weird and wacky stuff. And
that's where your Dan Electros and stuff live.
Yeah, he's got a couple of really choice harmonies in there at the moment.
I bet they are choice.
They're really good. I mean, £1,700 is what you pay for a harmony now.
That shouldn't be £400.
Bear in mind, Harmony were specifically like a Sears company.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, sure.
It's amazing. Like, and now they're, but they look incredible. And like one of the ones he's got in there, £1,600 for this HH Harmony model that's got like black nylon tape round strings on it, and it's just. That is the ultimate retro thing. I'm just going really retro at the moment.
That's not £1,700 retro. Oh,
maybe not, but it is really cool. It's really cool. All this will tie later into the brand of the week.
I put on a show this week. I put on a couple, but the one that's relevant here is I put on this band called Radioactivity, who are like really great. Garage punk band from Denton in Texas, and the singer was playing a DC 59 into a PV Classic 50, And honestly,
one of the
best guitar sounds I've ever heard. It sounded incredible. Like, I mean, we rabbit on about the classic series to anybody who listen, because, you know, we just love them so much, even down to the, you know, the classic Mini that came out last year. But it sounded amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
Those guitars just need something that's going to bring out the chime. Like, you wouldn't plug one into, like, a Meta Boogie, would you? Because even on a clean sound, it's going to be too clinical.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. it needs something that's going to be rough and ready. And it just sounded absolutely wonderful. Like, they were so good. So good.
In the Dan Electro catalogue at the moment, they've got some Lifestyle images. And they've got one picture of their new Silver Sparkle 59.
Wait, is there a bass version of that?
No, unfortunately not. No, they did used to do that though in the 90s.
You can still find
them occasionally. But no, this one was just the ordinary 6-string guitar, but it had it like lent up against the new Supro that we spoke about a little while ago, and I was just like, oh, that, what a combination.
Man, if they do that in a bass, I'll be very tempted.
Yeah.
I can't keep buying Sparkle guitars, but...
No, definitely do. Nah. Definitely do. They'd be way cooler than the Strat as well. The Strat was kind of ruined with those Zebra pickups and the black hardware.
Yeah, well, mod mode.
I know, mod mode, I know. I tell you what, I'm just getting excited about Fun for a Ton.
I've got
so many ideas. I've been doing research and stuff.
Okay.
I was going to say, actually, although I'm not actually going to use it for that, I went to a car boot on Sunday with my dad, who's an avid car boot goer, and I bought a Yamaha Pacifica and Yamaha case for £65.
That's unbelievable.
I put a new set of strings on it and set it up, and I was like, this guitar is, you don't actually need to mod it, like, it sounds really good and it plays really well. I was like, for £65, like, the case alone would have been like over £100.
I think you should use that for mod mode.
I think the idea should be that we video diary it as well.
Yeah, definitely.
I've pretty much almost tripled my money on eBay, so
don't tell people that.
But, well, I mean, yeah, I'm sure there's probably not many people are going to, not going to, well, maybe they are car booters and on eBay a lot, but yeah, it's on there. But I'm going to start doing it regularly. I'm just going to start going to car boots and see what I can find.
Okay.
Oh, you're becoming that man.
Hello there. Have you got any guitars? You get it a lot with record collectors who are like, I had some friends who used to like go down to, you know, take stuff to the car boot fairly regularly. And they said that it was always a nightmare doing records because, like, even before you've got them out
of
the car,
people, they swarm
people
over
are
the
like,
car. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah,
it's a whole world.
There was loads of guitars there and people just didn't know what they had.
Yeah.
And like most of them are like just cheap and cheerful, but there were some cool ones in there, but that was like definitely the choice one. It was classic, like guy basically bought it and then was just like, I never used it. And it's like, I'll give you this for it. And he was like, nah. And I was like, I'll give you, and then just like hammered him down on the price. But I should have just bought a load more. There was so many there. I was like, actually,
really?
I could probably just buy like 6 or 7 guitars, but I couldn't carry them all back to London.
Because I remember going as a kid and it would always be utter tat there, just like rubbish. Mm. But maybe you have found an interesting way to complete your Fun for a Ton challenge.
Yeah, I think that is what I'm going to do. Because there's definitely some cool stuff. I mean, talking of like brand of the week and kind of 50s and 60s, I went to one a few weeks ago and I saw like an old 60s guitar. I know like the hollow bodies have got like 50 switches and like loads of controls on it.
Oh,
like,
everything I've ever wanted, yeah.
I was like, maybe I should buy that. And then I was like, no, I'll leave. I walk around and I was like, no, I'm definitely going to go back and buy it. And then as I went back, someone's like giving him the money for it. And right. I think he only paid like £60 for it because I could see he only handed over £320 notes. I was like, that guy definitely just got a steal on that guitar.
Yeah.
So it's definitely worth more than £60.
Do you know what brand it was?
No, it was probably it was definitely like, you know, one of those kind of odd, a bit like
Jetson, Tysco, those.
Yeah, just like one of those that had like kind of ridiculous controls on it, like the ones you get in like Woolworths in the '60s sort of thing.
But
you never know. Like it might have actually sounded like pretty good. It might not have, but it would have definitely been a good guitar for £60.
It would have sounded amazing.
Maybe you've just opened up a brand new avenue for Fun for a Ton, getting down the boot fair. Will you feel comfortable walking around a boot fair, filming yourself, looking for guitars?
Yeah, Sure, okay. Why not? What I did think about Facebook doing it Facebook Live, but it was 7 o'clock in the morning and I was very tired.
You got to a boot fair at 7 in the morning.
Yeah, if you're going to go to boot sale, you've got to go when it opens. This one opened at 6, but we got there at 7.
Mate, there's no way you get me at a boot fair at 6 in
well,
the morning.
Well, I bet your girlfriend you goes.
Ella goes though, didn't she?
Yeah, Ella's known to go to the market before it opens and hang around outside, so yeah.
I'm being quiet because I'm struggling here with Amplify. It keeps crashing. I've tried the app now, which appears to have had an update, and people are saying that it's working a lot better.
That's the way to go.
If you're listening on catch up and you've struggled with Amplify in the past, give it another go next week if you can, because. Yeah, I think it's working a little bit better now. Although I say that as I'm trying to log in again. So we'll see.
Cool. All right, well, let us know how you get on with that. Anyway, hopefully if you're listening to this or if you're watching on Amplify, maybe you can still hear us and not see the video. I don't know. But anyway, has anyone else done anything guitar-related this week, or shall we move on to news?
Let's do some news. Oh, I was in Total Guitar this week.
What?
Yeah,
why?
Yeah. Well, my band was in Total Guitar.
Why? Yeah, exactly. Why?
Because Tim plays Hagstrom in that, and they wanted to do a bit on him.
Wow, did they say anything nice?
It was just like them asking him about stuff.
Oh, right.
And it was just questions and that.
So yeah. The one who's got the really interesting bass setup, they weren't that fussed about.
Oh, right. No. But it was for him. But here's the best bit. He's been putting his pedal board back together this week.
Okay.
And bear in mind, he has a... The 4x4, the Voodoo Labs 4x4 is
yes.
His power supply. We'll all agree, one of the best, biggest sort of power supplies. Anyway, he puts everything back together, and I sort of texted him and was like, is it okay? Is it good? And he was like, yeah, there is some weird like computer buzzing coming from it though. And I was like, right, that normally means that you're overpowering the brick. Talk me through the power supplies. And he goes, well... In the first port, I've got a daisy chain of 8 going into my drives and delays. Right, okay.
No, great. You're supposed to connect one pedal to each one of these. Right.
You can daisy chain. Don't tell people.
Yeah, no,
but
I realise that.
Daisy chain more than like 4 or 5.
Yeah,
really.
Of course. Yeah, if he's got 8 coming out of one of the outputs. Yeah. Actually, four. Before we go into news, I wanted to ask you about that, mate, because I went to plug in the two notes. Laclean preamp the other day, just to have a bit of a play around at home. I know we're recording soon, so I just wanted to like hear some of the pedals. And the power supply is terrible. It's so noisy.
Yeah, I know. I certainly noticed that when I worked for a shop that two notes. I mean, I might actually just email them and be like, we should email them and say like we've got this. And yeah, I think the 12 volt they've supplied is. I don't know whether it's unisolated or it's just like they've bought hundreds and hundreds of 12 volts, but
yeah, it looks like it
as
costs.
Soon as you plug a decent one in, it's like it's yeah, much better.
Totally. So if we were going to build a Nerds demo board that had that and the torpedo cab on it, so we've just got an easy board that we can cart around and kind of drop a pedal on to do demos, what's the cheapest way we can do that? So we need at least 2 isolated 12 volt outs. Is there a cheap option for that?
T-Rex fuel tank, although they're not actually isolated on the fuel tank.
They're not. They're, you also can't get 2 12s out of it. You can with the not with the classic. You can with the Goliath, I think.
Okay.
I think the Goliath, which is, but I mean, they're £250.
Yeah. This is the problem. Should we just?
I mean, actually, what you could do is you could use. Decibel 11 Hotstone, I think, has actually got the switch on the bottom that will allow you to change 9 volt to 12 volt.
Ooh.
On a couple of the outputs.
Okay.
Which will work.
My favourite, Isobrick. It's got 2 12 volt outs.
I do love that.
Actually,
it's got 2 18 volts.
No,
it's got 2 18s. Yeah, in fact, Decibel 11 Hotstone, the standard one, 5 outputs, 2 of which are 12 volt or 9 volt, £109. And the two notes fits lovely on a Pedal Train Metro 16 because not long before I left my previous job, I actually set up a pedal board of a two notes and a cab simulator on a pedal board for someone who was actually using it for gigs where he couldn't take his full rig, and basically he was doing some gigs where he was playing like you need to play straight into a PA. So he was like, I'll just go into the input one of the mixer, and it sounded really good. We were trying it through like the Bose L1 compact system, which are their little like modular tower system, and it sounded really good.
Cool.
Really, really good.
Okay, well, we need to investigate at least that power supply, because at the moment the LeClean is kind of out of action because the hum from the power supply is so bad. So
yes, cool. We need to sort a new 12 volt.
We do. We need it before this weekend when we do loads more new video demo videos.
Oh,
Matt, have you got a 12 volt power supply that we can use?
Maybe. I'll have to have a look. I've probably got one somewhere lying around.
I'm sure you've got it in your pile of stuff. Anyway, should we move on to some news?
News.
Oh, wow, that was conservative.
Oh, yeah, I was just trying to get on with it.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah, yeah. Just racing.
just get his board.
I'm not
he's
interested
got
in
the
news.
Got something to beat tonight,
no,
mate.
I'm just not interested in the news.
He wants
this
to get onto
week.
His brand of the week. He's desperate to do
it. No, I don't. I want to get onto the questions as well.
So the first bit is actually, first bit of news is actually really interesting to me. And Matt, I think you'll be the best, best kind of position to talk about this. The positive, the brand Positive Grid have announced the BIOS rack. Now, I only know Positive Grid BIOS as a piece of software, amp modeling software, but I've never used it, and I kind of don't know what the benefits are, and I also don't really know what they've done with the rack. So, yeah, what do you know?
Yeah, well, I think actually this would be something quite good for guitar nerds to actually get hold of. I think it'd be quite good to do some recording using BIOS Grid. It is effectively the current most popular piece of recording software, because it's so much more in depth than anything else that's kind of been out before.
Yeah.
In fact, that it kind of gives you a virtual amp, you can change valves, you can sort of do all sorts of crazy, crazy things with it. And the problem that people have had with it is that it's like, oh, once I've created all these tones and recorded it, I can't then go out and gig it unless I use a laptop or anything like that. So they've basically made a 600 watt powered head that directly ports from the software into the head.
Wow,
so you don't
okay.
have to have the software, although the software does come with it for free. It Bluetooths to an iOS device or an Android device, so you don't even have to connect it to a computer. So live, like you could an Eventide H9, you can actually have the Positive Grid head or rack unit Bluetooth to an iPad and change everything on the fly.
Wow.
It works, I don't think it works in a similar way to the Kemper, but they market it in a similar way to the Kemper, as they say. They call it amp matching, and they've got like a tone cloud, and it does a similar thing in the way it kind of models amplifiers, but in a much more in-depth way. The heads are, I think my old shop Anderton's is the exclusive dealer for those at the moment. I think they're going to be like $12.99 for the head and like $14.99 for the rack. But the advantage it has over the Kemper or the Axe FX or the Helix, or maybe not the Helix, but the Axe FX, is that it's got the inbuilt power amp. So it's got 600 watts of a solid state power amp in there. So you can plug it straight into a cab. You don't have to plug it into a rack unit or anything like that. But the main thing is just the kind of direct portability. They've like left out any screens, any menus. Like, it basically, you save 25 amp models in there however you want, and then the controls just work on the front panel. There's no like things do different controls depending on what setting you're on. It's just an amplifier, basically. You program it and away you go, and if you want to change it on the fly, you can just use iOS, or you can use Mac, or you can use PC. And it's like, if you want it to be, it can be super in depth, like changing valves, changing the bias of valves. You can add in effects that are all modeled in the same way. And loads of pro players are starting to use it. I think Toshin Abasi's kind of moved to it from Axe FX.
Yeah,
really? I didn't know he'd stopped using Axe FX.
Yeah, I think he's moved to bias head. And I mean, some of the video demos I've watched, I was like, yeah, this thing sounds like absolutely incredible.
Yeah, I hear a lot of good things. Much like the Axe FX a few years ago, it's become like the YouTuber's demo bit of kit of choice, basically.
Well, because now you can, with the software, if you're a YouTuber and you're demoing, you can plug straight into your computer and then use this to give you all the amp modeling.
Yeah.
The other advantage is that it's just standard MIDI, so you don't have to buy a dedicated foot controller, which you do with the Kemper,
right?
Or program something. Same with the Axe FX. They're like, oh, well, you do need to sort of buy our foot controller for the best use, and the same with like the Helix in a way that's like, if you use the rack, oh, you kind of need to buy a foot controller to get the best out of it.
With this, like, you could just get the trusty Behringer FCB 1010,
yeah. I mean, and that's the thing, it'll work, it'll map very easily. They're saying like zero latency, using like, it's like all instant change when you're using Bluetooth. Like, it's a pretty impressive bit of kit, especially to kind of change on the fly as well.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's the thing, you can literally be in your studio or whatever at home, create loads of cool tones, and literally port the exact sound like that you've heard through studio monitors straight to the amplifier and then go out and gig it. So there's no change to your sound, which is pretty impressive, really.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the way that things are going, you know, that you have a decent bit of recording software and then be able to like recreate those tones live. And this seems like an obvious, really easy way of doing it. So
yeah, and so, I mean, there's things that you can do that, I mean, I was reading some extra bits about it. There's some other things that you can change out. So obviously you can change out tubes, preamp tubes, tone stack. So if you just want bass and treble and you don't want any mid, or you just want the treble to work or whatever, cabs and mics, obvious. But you can also change out things like power transformers, so you can put different power transformers in to kind of make the amp respond and react in different ways.
I just wonder how they've modeled that, like, it's such a weird thing, like they'd have to be taking amps apart as they're like recording to
I suppose it, in a way it kind of works the same. I mean, every company does it differently, but maybe the same way that Roland does with IRA and the ACB, the analog circuit behavior.
Model the individual parts.
You're basically modeling components and then putting those components in to get together in a virtual circuit.
And I guess in a simpler way, even like Blackstar did it with the ID
TVP.
The TVP, that's it. Yeah, thank you. Where you know, you can change the valve.
Yamaha did that as well on the TH on series.
Yeah. So I mean, it's something that's getting more popular. So, you know, inevitably it's going to be something that's going to just start, people are going to get better at it, you know.
What do you think, Matt? How does it compare to like Axe FX? Do you have an opinion on that?
I mean, with Axe FX, I mean, people have been using Axe FX for a long time, but I don't know how integrated, like, I don't know if there's any computer editing software for it. I don't know if it's all on screen. I think it's still like relatively easy to use, and it's like processing power is pretty full on. But I don't think you can buy it powered. So I think you have to plug it into like powered cabs, or you have to have a power rack, something like that. And then with Kemper, the same thing. You can buy the powered version, but you kind of need to have the foot switch. The powered version adds on like an extra £300. So with this, effectively, you're getting the software, which is $199, and then you're getting like a proper well-built 600 watt power amp. And where it varies from everything else is it responds and reacts just like a normal amp. So Kemper, as I think I've said before, creates like a screenshot. So if you capture an amp where everything is set to 12, as soon as you move the controls past that point or below that point, you're adding in or taking away virtual gain or virtual bass or virtual treble. Where this, because it's modeling the circuit, it responds the way a normal control would. And the thing I like about it is just no menus. Like, you can literally create those sounds on your computer or on your iPad or whatever, and then just load them into the amp, and in theory then never ever change it. You could just have 25 sounds that you just go, they're my go-to sounds.
There's controls on the amp though, isn't there? I think there's like bass, middle and treble or something.
Yeah, you've basically got all the standard amp controls, so gain, volume, bass, middle, treble, presence, resonance.
I guess that's to adjust for the room, obviously, because, you know, let's say that you're in a bit of a kind of bass trap, you want to roll the bass off a little bit.
That's always the problem with the Kemper, is the fact that you can't really adjust that live, because if you do, you're changing the actual physical captured amp model.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, you've got like, there's like a bank selection, which is just on controls. It's just like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then it's broken down into like clean, crunch, lead, gain. But you don't actually have to stick to those. You can have 25.
You could put a clean sound in the lead bank and leave it like that.
You can actually rework all the controls, so all the controls can do whatever they want as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, it's pretty full on. If you just want to use it for like a super clean amp that's just got volume and gain, and effectively runs at 600 watts,
You could, I mean, it'd be an expensive way to do it, but
you definitely could do that. And I suppose the other huge advantage, I don't know how well the other, maybe Kemper, but it's fully for base as well.
Oh, really?
Joe
Brand
springs into action.
Suddenly piqued his interest.
No, I still don't care.
Yeah, it's completely like workable for bass. Bass amps, transformers, all of that can all be done as well.
Cool. Should we move on? Let's do two more bits of news. Okay, first up, Ibanez have announced some brand new Iron Label RG models. Matt Knight, did you get some details on these?
I did. I always have to kind of laugh sometimes with Ibanez because they're like, they release a new model like every quarter.
Well,
and then you're sort of like,
I was going to say, when
but most of those models never even actually make it to release.
Come out.
They just announce stuff and then.
I was going to put the names of the models in our like the email that we send around when we're working out what we're going to talk about in the podcast. And I looked at the list and I was like, absolutely no way I'm writing all those down because they're basically all the same.
But they're so long now, aren't they? They're getting to a point where they're like 12 numbers and digits long for the name of the guitar. It's like,
give us an example of these ones, Matt.
So my favourite is the RGIR37 BFE BKF. Which if you've worked in a guitar shop, you probably sort of get it. So that's 7-string black flat, which is the BKF, and then RGIR is the label. So RG Iron Label, 7-string 3-piece neck. It's just kind of like the Wizard 7 neck. I mean, they're just kind of like, I think they're just like, oh, stick an extra number on it, it'll be fine.
Yeah.
Once again, cool guitars, like sort of flat matte finish, 6, 7, 8 string, go to tuners, which you don't normally get unless you go for the really expensive models. EMGs on the whole range, 60s and 81s on the 6 strings, 707s on the 7 strings, and 808s on the 8 strings. But yeah, they're saying like summer model, so how long it'll last, I don't know. They're constantly changing.
They've got so good at packing loads of features into affordable models. Like, how much are the Iron Label models going for?
I mean, I think these are, the list price is like $964, so they'll probably be like $799.
Well, exactly, $799 for something with, you know, with those tuners, with EMGs.
Well,
with,
I mean, it's like maple Babinga neck, jumbo frets, go to locking tuners, Gibraltar bridge, and EMGs, and then super simple controls: three-way switch, volume, and kill switch.
Interestingly, no Floyd Rose, no trems on them.
Ibanez are definitely moving away from that, I think, somewhat. There's a lot of models that come out recently where they've kind of done like those sort of hardtail bridges, and I think it's down to the down tuning.
Yeah, but I think the whole genre is moving away from
from
those sorts of bridges, which is weird.
You know,
because
it's actually
Washburn just re-released all their solos with Floyd Roses for some reason.
That is very weird.
Even though the thing that made them really cool was that they were hardtails.
Simple stuff. We haven't given you actually much detail about the individual model names and numbers, but do go and look it up. Yeah, there's 3 or 4 new models, I think.
Was the did you see I posted in the Guitar Nerds Facebook group earlier this week about that the new Iceman? Well, new to me, the Iceman.
I saw a couple of people posting about this new Iceman.
So I saw it because the reason that I happened upon it was a friend of mine took a photo in GAC. And of his mate just stood in the shop, and in the background I just saw an Iceman with in like sunburst, and I was like, what? And so I did some digging on it. I found next to no information on it. There's a web page, like GAC has got it listed and Anderson's had it listed, and like I could find pretty much nothing else about it. It looks amazing. It looks so cool. Like just a subtle Iceman, almost.
Yeah,
you know, like,
but a really cool retro sort of thing. I love it when Ibanez. I'm not looking for. It's really nice when Ibanez do those sort of subtle
kind of 70s reissue things. They did some recently as well. They did like a few other guitar models.
They've been doing it for a little while. The obviously they did the Talmans and stuff last year, yeah. And the year before that they did like the 25th anniversary models, I think, where there was an Iceman in that,
yeah,
which was a Cherry Sunburst one, and yeah, they, like you say, when they do like retro reissue stuff, it's always cool to see. Jabran, you've pulled up a picture of a Guild S200.
Yeah, because they're new from Guild.
Okay, well, all right, okay.
So, yeah, it just the Iceman reminded me of it. Listeners, go and type in Guild S200 T-Bird into Google.
Have you never seen one of these before?
No, I have, but they're here. They've just arrived.
Just arrived.
Guild have just relaunched it. I have seen them before. It's the fact that you can now get one is the real crucial thing. And it's not just, you can't just get one. You can get one for $660.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
70 quid.
Yeah, it's cool.
Which is remarkably cheap. If you've never seen one, it's...
You're really going down this like 60s kind of pawn shop vibe. Like,
this has got
like, what, 5 switches on it? Something like that?
It's tons of switches. Brilliant ridiculous pickups. Mental looking trem. The most bonkers headstock. Look at that headstock.
Yeah, that's weird. Which prog band has started playing?
Has Omar just signed with Guild?
No. Omar's with Fender at the moment. He's playing.
Really?
Playing Mustangs. Did you see his new new music video? Because you know he's doing an album every 2 weeks until
Christmas.
Yeah,
I did hear about that. Yeah.
So
what a waste of time.
He's released a new music video, which is essentially him getting beaten up by
Eva
Gardner, Terry Genderbender. The front guy from the Melvins, I can't remember his name.
King Buzzo.
And John Frusciante and a few other people and stuff.
They all just hit him in the face. Yeah, that's right. I'm not watching it yet.
Why are you releasing so many albums?
Yeah. Can I ask a question about that Guild?
Yeah.
Does it have the stand on the back? Because the original ones had a fold-out leg that meant that you could...
What?
Where the guitar is both... You know, the base of the guitar is kind of like got a weird offset thing, but actually the two furthest points kind of match basically the level that they are. So you would be able to... You'd be able to stand it against a wall, but let's say you don't have a stand, or a wall, you could put the guitar down, fold out the leg from the back of the guitar, and it would act as the proverbial third leg.
That is incredible. There is no information on that.
Okay.
On this listing.
I'm assuming they've not done that because it is absolutely ridiculous.
I would definitely. I almost don't want this now, so I can find an old one.
Yeah,
with that.
You should do that. You should find that. You know, they've made bass versions of those over the years as well.
Yes, but the only ones I'd seen weren't from Guild. They were from Diarmond.
Yeah, Diarmond. Yeah, same company basically.
Yeah, yeah. I was aware they were just the cheaper company. They did them scratch plateless with single coils, single coil jazz pickups,
sparkly pink.
Did they?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's
there
insane.
We go. Now that's living. KHDK Electronics have just announced the SCUS box. Now, we're yet to hear anything from KHDK. I've not managed to get my hands on the Ghoul Screamer, which is their first one. But I hear really positive things about them. From people that I know who have tried one, really impressed by the original pedal. And this is their latest effort, the SCUS box. Matt, have you got some details?
Yeah, so... I suppose we were all unsure at first. I mean, I think they've maybe moved away from kind of associating it with Kirk Hammett completely, and they've kind of gone, actually, it's like a pedal brand in its own right. Germanium-voiced fuzz with a kind of dual circuit design, so one of them sort of more of a traditional sort of tone bender, I suppose, so quite kind of thick and full fuzz, and then the other one's like... I don't want to say... I mean, they call it Velcro-type grating fuzz, so I just instantly think of Zvex for that, the Fuzz Factory, which is kind of... Didn't really invent it, but it kind of led the way to that kind of really weird sort of, like, gated fuzz tone. So it should be quite cool, like, standard controls, like fuzz, volume, and tone. It's also got an inbuilt buffer. I don't know how that would necessarily affect the sound, but maybe it's kind of there for the kind of the pedals that you might put after it.
Yeah.
Or if you're going to put like a fuzz before it, maybe it needs to have the buffer in there to kind of make it work a little bit better, because sometimes they can be tricky with where you place them in the chain. But then it's also got this deep control, which is kind of for a little bit more bottom end. But actually, from what I've seen, could be a decent sounding fuzz, so we should try and definitely get a hold of a few. And
yeah, really, you know, would really like to
re-rate them once we've actually tried them.
Definitely obviously his initial comments about being the first guitarist to release a pedal got a lot of flack, but from what I hear, the reviews on the Ghoul Screamer are pretty good, so it'd be interesting to hear some of the range. Definitely.
Yeah.
Joe Branton, you look like you've just thrown one more news item into the mix. I wanted to talk about this a few weeks ago, and you guys said no, no one will know what that is, no one will care.
Did we?
Yes.
Don't think I would have.
I mean, I don't know who the company are, but I just thought it was such... I don't really want to talk about it as news. I don't want to talk about the things in it. I just want to talk about the fact that this has happened and how this is the most ridiculous thing of all time.
Go on.
Beachronics have released two relict guitar effect pedals.
That's cool. They're not the first. Ibanez did relic tube screamers.
Oh, yeah, they did.
And Tech 21 still make a relic Sans amp.
I think that is super cool. That's the coolest
the Sans Amp Classic.
That's the best relic pedal you could get.
I really.
It's also a great sounding pedal.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not sure that you can go hell for leather with like championing relict guitars and basses and then like dislike this.
I just think there's a step too far.
There's a difference.
You can be a Republican and not like Trump. You know, it's the same thing.
Let's not go down that route. Anyway, what next? We'll be eating KFC with knives and forks.
I've got a piece of news, actually.
Okay.
Which, sorry, this is...
Is it that Joe Branton has finally turned into Alex Jones? This is actually InfoWarsRadio.com.
InfoWars/guitar nerds.
I'm telling you, Paul McCartney died in 1963.
Marshall.
Yes.
Marshall are continuing their ever...
the transition out of being an amp manufacturer
and moving into becoming a lifestyle brand. They've released two different beers.
Yep.
They've released two new beers, the blonde craft beer and the blonde French craft beer.
Okay. As a beer connoisseur, what's the difference?
Well, I don't know. I assume it's going to be like an English
bitter. One is Stella and one is Foster's.
Yeah, well, I assume that one is going to be like an English beer and one will be like a sort of French lager.
I like that Foster's is now an English beer.
Yeah, it says on the can, brewed in England. It's never an Australian beer.
It says brewed in Edinburgh. So it's got.
Does it?
Yeah.
Well, so I did some digging on it to find out, because I couldn't find anything about it. I had presumed it was just, you know, I didn't expect that they'd set up a brewery in Milton Keynes. You know, it's being brewed under somebody else's name, by somebody else. Apparently, it's being brewed by Robinson's, who
squash manufacturer,
the fruit and barley.
Who did the Trooper, the Iron Maiden beer?
Oh yeah,
which actually is not as bad as you expect it's going to be. quite like stumbling into an Iron Maiden show. Not as bad as you expect it to be.
Okay,
like pretty all right. So I really want to try this.
Okay. So if you're from Marshall and you're listening, I don't know if you know, but Jay and Joe drink a lot of beer on the podcast, and we now have a video component.
Drinking water recently.
Well, normally you do.
I do.
And we could probably, I reckon, have some beers in the front here, just right in front of the camera, and Jay and Joe will probably drink them and talk them about them a
that's,
bit.
So. That's the new, that's
Boss
the new
actually
thing.
Do a branded beer.
Do they?
Yeah.
Do they, Matt?
What's that?
The Boss
do a branded beer.
They, in fact, bizarrely enough, we were talking about this today, and I'm actually, it's on my to-do list of things to sort out.
Because they were supposed to, by Arctangent Festival, and their supplier fell through. So,
yeah, it was one of those things where, like, we've like, in fact, I'll put it out there, like. I'm thinking of merch at the moment. Just some cool, like, limited stuff. So
please,
if anyone's got some cool ideas that aren't bed covers,
yeah.
I mean, the BED one's going to happen.
I mean, you will sell at least one set to
we've
yourself.
We've talked about it for 5 years,
and I love that
it will finally happen.
You've worked your way into the job specifically to make the BED one happen. Unbelievable.
But, yeah, he was like, you know, we can just talk about merch and we can get some stuff made and, you know, if it raises brand awareness. And I was like, oh, because then the beer thing came through and I was like, oh, maybe. And he said that once they did have some Boss beer in cans.
Oh my god.
So I don't know, maybe we'll make that happen again.
Yeah. Tin soup.
Boss soup.
I tell you what, just going back to what you were saying, it's like a thing now on the internet, isn't it, to just like get drunk and do things.
Yeah
it's like drunk history. And they do, don't they? Isn't there like a drunk cooking?
Here's an idea. I went to see Drunk Shakespeare as well.
Yeah, there you go. This is a legitimate
YouTube videos path. We could review them for YouTube. The camera, it's just you two sat on a sofa for like, I don't know,
an hour and a half.
And you need to drink like 10 beers each, and then
and
you,
the rest,
and then you do the review.
Okay,
that's
of what?
Idea.
What of guitar pedal or something?
No, of the beers.
Can we drink? Maybe we should make this a like an ongoing segment where we at the start of every video is just a fast forward of us drinking like 4 or 5 bottles of Marshall beer, and then we just do like review a guitar or something.
Okay.
I'll see what we. I'm into
it. Drunk reviews. Anyway, Joe Branton.
We're running out of time, aren't we?
It's that time of the week.
I always forget the one for this. Okay, I've got it.
Brand of the week.
Good.
Thank you. Right, okay, brand of the week, everyone, this week. I'm sticking with the theme of, as we said earlier, of
cheap old tat.
Yeah, cheap old tat. Cheap old tat. And who other than the ultimate of all cheap old tat, that brand that you've seen at the bottom of the list, if you type guitar into eBay and search by lowest price.
Always there. And I would imagine it's going to pop up in Fun for a Ton, I would say.
Yes, it certainly will. The brand I'm talking about is K.
Oh, what a great sounding
K.
Go away.
They make K guitars. But yes, so K, a brilliant little brand, American firm, unlike sort of most of the others that we talk about in this. They were officially started in the 1930s, but actually they've got roots because they're a renaming from Stromberg, who are a late 19th century company. And of course, you all know Stromberg as guitar nerds. Matt Knight, you know Stromberg, right?
Stromberg.
Responsible for the first ever electric guitar, boys and girls. So K actually have the ultimate heritage of all guitar brands.
Actually,
which is,
that was the Stratocaster, 1956.
Wasn't Stromberg a James Bond villain?
Oh, God.
Didn't he play up front for the Netherlands in the 1980?
Okay, right, fine.
fine. Anyway, so after they changed their name to K, when they got a new CEO, they released their first electric guitar under the brand name K, the same year as Gibson brought out theirs, the ES-150. At that time, they were expanding. They became a department store manufacturer. They did do Sears. They, in fact, branded some stuff under Silvertone. And actually, for a brief time, in a weird crossover with a past brand of the week, they also manufactured on behalf of Airline briefly. Although, okay, I can only find that said in a couple of statements randomly on the internet. I can't really find out any solid information about it. But apparently, maybe that happened. Anyway, in the 60s, they started expanding and making loads more really interesting, really cool guitars, which I'll go into in a second. And they actually even moved into amplifier manufacture, the same as, this is quite a similar tale to we've told of a lot of the other brands, and in a very similar style. After they were bought and sold a few times in the late 60s, they eventually ran into financial trouble. And
it's a classic tale.
It is, yes, exactly. And that was 1968. In 1969, Tysco bought K.
Okay.
Which obviously then began, that Tysco then began manufacturing under the name K throughout the 70s, which is why I think a lot of people, when I say K, you'll be thinking about the precision bass copies, the Les Paul copies, things like that, cheap
bolt on neck Les Pauls, bolt on neck SGs,
and that's sort of, I think, what a lot of people think of K. But actually, they were a really respectable, brilliant late 50s, early 60s guitar manufacturer. Unfortunately, this thing with Tysco is sort of has led to them being thought of in that way. In 1980, Tony Blair bought K's trademark.
What?
Not the Tony Blair, but a man called Tony Blair.
I'm surprised you're even reading this out.
I know, it's absolutely brilliant, isn't it?
Why are you not at the Jeremy Corbyn rally? Why are you
this
here?
It is actually happening tonight.
We could have done an episode without you.
You know, all my friends are there. All my friends
are
there.
Of course they are.
Tony Blair.
I'm going to rip into you so hard.
From AR Enterprises. He was the head of AR Enterprises.
They've actually formed a chain of hands, but with dreadlocks.
Oh, God. Anyway, so Tony Blair purchased K's trademark in 1980. And where this story gets brilliant is in 2008, Tony Blair, falling on hard times, being a war criminal and all, sold the trademark to the Fritz brothers, who have since revived the K brand, which I was incredibly excited about.
So
when
K,
I learned this,
still a thing.
K, the name K has been bought off of Tony Blair by the Fritz brothers, and they are producing guitars. So I was very excited about this. So I thought, wow, because I love all the old K vintage stuff. They do an incredible vintage range of really cool, interesting guitars. And I was like, I'll find, see what the Fritz brothers
are
doing.
Is it not the Fritz brothers who make Fritz Cola?
No.
Okay.
Anyway, so I found the K website, which I've got up here for the
sake
of the guys.
That looks like it is from GeoCities.
No, I know. So I thought, oh, okay, well, this looks a little bit scary. Let's look at some guitars. So I clicked on electric guitars. They do 8 of those, and you can see what's come up.
Oh dear. They are, so let me describe it for the viewers. We've got basically what is a PV Raptor.
Wait, what is the catchy name that they've called this guitar?
That one, I mean, it's some great branding, because like Ron Teal, it does exactly what it says on the tin. Full-size student electric guitar.
That is what they've named it. Now, the one thing they've kept is the Cool K headstock from the 60s. Yeah. But anyway, so I was a little depressed. I was like, oh, that is a real shame. K made some brilliant stuff. And then
Can you go back? There's not a back, is there?
No, there's not a back. I can use that. Okay. But then I saw, basically, on K's website, there was a little thing on the home, it's not in this bit, that said K Vintage Reissue website. And I found that website. And
oh, that's way better.
Yeah, and it's so much. It's yeah. Okay.
I mean, there's some word art on there.
Yeah. There's some word art.
There's
pretty much cool with a K. They spell cool with a K.
Pretty much every image on it is some form of word art.
So anyway, the range that they've issued: 4 models, 2 guitars, 2 basses, and they look absolutely blooming.
They look very good.
Brilliant.
Do we know how much they are?
Yes. Yep. They're under £700. So there are no UK distributors at the moment. You can only get them in the States.
Okay.
Although I did find a couple of German companies listing them, but mostly on eBay, and I didn't know how trustworthy they were. but there are four models they've re-released on the guitar front: the Jazz 2, and most importantly, the Thin Twin.
Now, which is the one that you see everywhere.
Yeah, which is one of the coolest looking guitars you'll ever see. Three finishes in every model. All, you know, they're normally black. This sort of, I don't know how to describe this
tan
color, a sort of tan, and amber, they do like a sunburst, kind of. Yeah, sort of amber, I guess. And two basses: the Jazz Special and the Pro Bass, which are both two of the coolest things I have ever seen, especially the Pro Bass.
They actually do look very good. I was totally ready to be skeptical about these, but they look really good, particularly the Thin Twin.
So yeah, I'll bring up the Thin Twin, and listeners and viewers, I strongly advise you to go and check out the K Thin Twin. The lipstick pickups that go in the Thin Twin are the slimmest. They actually call them razor blade pickups.
Yeah, they look weird.
Really slim single coils, the slimmest you can imagine, and I mean, just so cool. The finishes are amazing. In the tan model, it comes with a sort of tiger.
Sort of, yeah, it's like a tiger stripe
scratch plate.
Yeah,
but very, very cool. And then what's interesting on the black and their sort of cherry sunburst models, they have this weird like coat of arms on the scratch plate, yeah, underneath the strings, which I was just like, it's like Hagstrom. If you ever see the bridge pieces on Hagstrom, they have the Hagstrom coat of arms on them, which I just think looks incredible.
I really like the headstock. The headstock looks like it looks like an Art Deco ballroom. Yeah, it looks like someone's pinched an Art Deco fixing from an abandoned cinema.
Yeah,
like a derelict old cinema. That's super cool.
I mean, personally, I'm not sub 700.
I don't really like the coat of arms. I'm throwing it out there. I would go for the tiger stripe.
The tiger stripe is probably the best one. But anyway, so these were all early 50s models by K's that have been reissued. Now, I still think there are some great, very affordable old 50s and 60s K guitars and basses out there on the internet that are starting to go for more money because people are realizing that they are as good and as well built. Bear in mind, they were all made out of Chicago and then in the 60s moved to Illinois.
Chicago's in Illinois.
Oh, is it? Oh, well, it said Chicago and then it said Illinois.
Yeah, that's how you say your address America.
No, it definitely changed. They definitely moved. I'm definitely saying it wrong then. Where did they move? Yes, they moved to Elk Grove Village,
Illinois.
Yeah, in Illinois, but it said Chicago before, so they are. That's different places.
Well, yeah, they just moved. It's still within
the
same
state, down the road.
Fine. Anyway, so they're all American built, which is super cool, and people are starting to catch on that they are as good as, you know, those old Hofners that now you're starting to pay like $2,000-$3,000 plus for the old sort of '60s ones. Absolutely super cool guitars, and the fact that you can get, you know, sub £600 for something this cool in a reissue, I think is whole wicked.
Shall we do some questions?
Let's do some questions.
Questions this evening coming in probably from the Facebook group, Jay, because it looks like you're struggling with amplifiers still.
No, I'm back up and running. I've got a couple of questions from here if we want to go.
Let's take an amplifier question first.
Okay, cool. One from Harry. So I've got a question, maybe directed towards Matt, which is good because we haven't heard from him for a while.
Yeah.
I stay silent during Brand of the Week.
Yes. I'm buying a Bright Onion 12 switch looper for home experimental use. He offers two standard buffers at the beginning and end of the loop, but you can special order more. Where would you recommend putting in the buffer or buffers?
Just at the front and the end, really. You don't really, as long as they're switchable on and off, I think that's the main thing. Probably don't necessarily need to be foot switchable on and off, maybe just on like a little micro switch.
Yeah.
But yeah, have one at the beginning. So if you're running a 20-foot guitar cable, you've got one to go into your first set of pedals, and then one at the end to kind of, and that one will, the first one will also drive, if you switched on all 12 pedals, it will obviously help drive the signal through the 12 pedals. And then one at the end to kind of drive all the top end back into the signal and through potentially another 20-foot cable. The only problem about having them at the beginning, if they're not switchable on and off on the fly, so not on a foot switch, if you're using like a fuzz pedal that doesn't necessarily like a buffer, that might pose a problem. So having it on a foot switch might be a good idea, but then the actual switcher itself will end up being absolutely massive. But I wouldn't bother putting them on in the middle because you're probably never going to need it or use it or necessarily notice the difference. You're going to notice the biggest difference at the front and at the end. So yeah, beginning and end, and you should be absolutely fine.
Do you think there's any reason, any setup that you would have when you would need an extra buffer? Is it just if you've got, like, for example, a bunch of pedals in it, like, hidden inside like one of those 12 loopers? Like, if you've got,
I don't know,
you know, four or five pedals in there, for example.
I suppose the thing is, if it's like a 12 looper, so you're going to put 12, say we're going to put 12 individual pedals in there.
Yeah.
And all of those pedals are true bypass, and then you were using six at once, then potentially you might have a problem. But a lot of companies now and a lot of the buffers drive, once you've kind of added one, adding additional ones don't make a huge amount of difference.
Yeah.
Because you've already driven the signal through X amount of cable. So it wouldn't potentially, I don't know, really. I've never kind of thought about sticking one in the middle because I've never really needed it. But they often say if you put one, like, one buffer should in theory drive like 50, 100 feet of cable.
Yeah.
It's only when you go through all the additional circuitry of like a true bypass pedal, it might make a difference.
There we go. Well, hopefully that answers your question. Who asked that?
Harry C. In the Amplify group.
Cool, cool. So let's
I think I met him the other day.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I think I met him. He came into my shop.
Oh, cool. Usually in the chat, so it's always good to, you know, not that I, no, I do. I prioritise people who are always in the chat.
Yeah,
so,
I thought so.
But yeah, we've got another couple if you get around to it.
Okay, well, we've got plenty from Facebook. This is from the Facebook group. Jack says, anyone have any good suggestions for pedals? I have around £70 to £100 and was going to buy a pedal, but I don't know what one. He's literally given no other information than that. So let's go around the table. If you had £70 to £100 to spend on a pedal, what would you get? Matt Knight?
I can't think that quick. TC Spark Boost Mini, less than £70, so you could potentially buy two. I bought one recently and they're really good, and that's the first pedal that I looked at when I looked at my pedal board and went, oh, that's within the budget and it's also very good. So Spark Booster Mini. I'm sure you could probably actually buy something much more interesting for £70 to £100 though.
Okay, Jay Cross.
Yeah, what would I get for under 100? I don't tend to spend that little money.
Oh, easy.
How much is a... Oh, no, that's way too much money. Can you come back to me?
Joe Branton.
I think for something interesting, as he's given absolutely no sort of limits on it, something completely random. And I think that's probably right. If he's not giving any, you know, sort of standard, he's probably got all his basics covered and just wants to get something cool and interesting and new that might change his playing or might develop him a little bit as a player. So why not go for the Electro Harmonix Freeze? It's £95, so you can buy me a beer for recommending it.
Marshall beers.
Yes, a Marshall blonde beer. The Electro Harmonix Freeze, yes, which is a great sort of dead simple pedal by Electro Harmonix, which simply allows you to hold and sustain individual notes and then sort of play over the top of them. I think it can be used in sort of really glitchy fashions, really interesting.
That's how I'd describe it, a kind of glitch looper almost.
Yeah, because it just saves like a millisecond of your playing. Yeah. So it can be used really, really interestingly if you get quite creative with it. And it's not a simple sort of, you can't just put it in your chain and use it. It's not like that.
It's
just something to use for a few weird bits and bobs. But I think a really cool, interesting, affordable pedal.
I'll tell you what I'd get.
Go on.
And I can't find the price, but I'm sure it's under £70. And the reason that I say it is because I do actually want to get one, and that's the Ranger FX Igor.
Yeah.
So the like
the Igor is just the damp pad.
Yeah, the damp pad that you can use in lieu of a expression pedal or a tap tempo. I just think it like I've never used one, and they look amazing.
Have you got something that has an expression pedal in that you could use it with though?
The RE20. I think RE20 expression pedal with
that would work. Yeah, definitely.
I'd use it with that. I like, they just look so great.
Yep.
And like really, really interesting, and just something so out of left field, and I cannot think of anything else like it.
Okay.
You know, that offers that type of, it's just so weird. It'd be really cool. It'd be useless for your band because like I don't think you could ever take it out because like it looks like the sort of thing that would definitely soak
it's like
up
a
beer.
Cushion.
Yeah. Well, it would just soak up beer really quickly.
Yeah, yeah.
And because you're all over the place all over the time, you'll definitely spill something in there.
Matt Knight, did you have another choice?
Very responsible.
Yeah, we talk about it a lot, but Line 6 M5 is only £99.
Okay.
And that would give you...
all the effects.
84 yeah, different effects, I think.
Okay.
If I remember rightly.
Well,
so
no,
then
that,
that way,
what
you
was
cover
that
all
called
bases.
Multi-effects that you picked up or you saw somewhere that night that you posted in the group recently? It was like an
I can't remember.
Korg one or something like that.
No? Korg? No.
No,
I don't remember.
Maybe it wasn't you.
I'm going to say the X5 Golden Brownie, which I think fell into that price point,
God.
Didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, but it's well. It's like I mean, he said 70 to 100, so it, I think they were like
two.
49 quid. So.
Oh, they wow. Yeah, yeah. So
absolutely one of the best.
That's what I would say.
Drives.
Maybe yeah, check out the X5 range because I know there's some new Thomas Blug signature pedals that we've not heard yet.
Yeah.
But the Golden Brownie is fantastic if you want a versatile overdrive that is kind of you know Marshall Brown sound. Vibes to it,
yeah.
And yeah, they're no money. They're like under 50 quid, which is fantastic. Get one of those, and then get yourself a Digitech Bad Monkey as well, and then you've got two very good drive sounds covered for probably less than 100 quid all in. So, let's do another question. Sam says, did anyone catch the light leads on Dragon's Den tonight? Analog optical guitar leads. I'm sitting here, what the hell is the point of them? Especially when they cost an absolute fortune to produce and in the long term can go brittle and snap even more so than a Boggo leads. I think he means
bog standard.
would you folk be bothered with them or would you use a normal wireless / copper lead to replace it with a new one if it got broken / lost? Now, I don't know if anyone did actually see this, but I did. I watched it this morning. Yeah, exactly.
I've actually played one.
Have you? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually organised a meeting with them about a year and a half ago to come into Anton's to show it to us because a friend of mine's been recording with them.
Okay.
And he was like, you should actually check them out. And bizarrely enough, they do sound different to normal cables.
I can completely understand that. Yeah, yeah. Well, it's a completely different component, isn't it? It'd be like switching out a component in a pedal, you know, would change the sound of the pedal, so...
Effectively, if you have one of those and you plug straight into your amp, the way the amp sees it is that you've basically hardwired your guitar straight into the amplifier.
Yeah.
Because there's basically a super high quality, high powered buffer in the end that basically jacks up the rating of your pickups so that it's the maximum it can be, and then there's no signal loss no matter how long the cable. In theory, you could have like a 1,000-foot cable and you'd lose no signal. And actually they're really really high quality in terms of the lead and the end. It's all detachable. I suppose the only downside is it's battery powered.
Can you run it off a
power supply? Run out of a 9
No, volt. It takes 3 AAA batteries. I think they last ages anyway. Awful. But the only downside is they are expensive. I can't remember how much they said they were when I was in. I don't know if they said on TV how much they were.
They didn't.
To get
so they
for
actually
them.
Didn't go into too much detail. And I'm also wondering whether we're talking about definitely the same thing.
The light lead.
I mean that's what they were calling it. Interesting that you've heard one. I wasn't expecting that response. So,
What did you think?
I just think that I thought that no one would have watched it or tried one. So it's good that someone's actually heard one. What I would say is that they got the money. So in theory, it's a product that is coming soon. So if you're interested in that, then keep an eye out for light leads.
And it's important with those that they're not. It's not digital in any way.
Yeah.
It's still an analog guitar signal, basically. So it's very different to wireless, and it's very different to a normal copper cable. But I suppose that when I was talking to them, they're kind of marketing it like you could use it live. But I think the idea is that you kind of
studio,
use it in the studio.
Super high quality studio kit.
But also the fact that I think they were saying like if you basically plug into a pedal board, it doesn't matter how much lead is after it, it would still work in the same way.
Right.
So you still only kind of need the one. And you just basically plug in and away you go. So it could potentially, like, you wouldn't need buffers or anything like that. But yeah, it works
in the cable.
I couldn't really understand a huge amount of the electronics behind it, but it has something to do with the impedance that the actual end of the jack plug gives you when you plug it in.
What happens when the batteries run out?
I just don't think the cable works because it's almost like a wireless system. So in that sense, where the battery runs flat, this little box at the front, it's like a little transformer where the jack plug is, and then obviously that needs power.
Yeah.
So when it runs out, the cable doesn't work, but just have some spare batteries.
Yeah, yeah. With that, I think we should call an end to this. We are way over time. So thanks for listening this week. If you want to hear some more of this, we do an extra half an hour of Guitar Nerd stuff over on our Patreon page, patreon.com/guitarnerds, where from as little as $5 a month, you can get extra half an hour of the content each week. Plus, for $10 a month, you become one of our executive Patreon backers, like these people have.
Angela Merkel, Tony Blair.
Say the right names.
God damn it.
Every week.
Okay. They're funny.
People don't like you because you're funny.
Steve Merkel, Blair Toms, Carlos Mancha. Carlos Mancha? That's the best name ever. Andrew Marco, Mark Cross, J.D. Short, David Carroll, Andy McKenzie, Brad Pitt, Paul Corrigan, Jack Godfrey, Jack Conroy, Will Clare, Scott O'Brien, Matt Quine, Phil Tomsett, Laurie Amstis, Moo, Gravett, Colin Anderson.
So you said two wrong there.
Did I?
Yeah, you said Brad Pitt instead of Brad Page.
No, I didn't.
And you also said Jack Conroy twice instead of Jack Godfrey and Jack Conroy. Yes.
You're out of order, mate.
All right.
People pay for this.
Well,
it's no wonder that you're constantly ranking lowest out of the
in the opinion polls.
I don't rank lowest. I'm
unelectable. Is what they're saying about you, Jack. Unelectable. Anyway, thanks for joining us this week. If you want to see more, as always, go to the Facebook page, facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds forum, where you can submit questions and hang out with other podcast listeners. You can join us on Twitter @guitar nerds, on Instagram @guitar nerds, YouTube guitar nerds videos, and we're on Snapchat now @guitar nerds.
Oh yes,
indeed.
Oh, I've been meaning to send some filthy
Snapchats. I'm a little bit worried about you having control of that.
I've got control.
Or you can follow us individually @mark_random, @matt_90, @jaybm1, and @joseph_900. And if you want to see the show live every week, ampli.fi/guitar nerds is where you can do that every Tuesday at 8:30 UK time.
Thanks for PM.
PM. Not the morning. PM. Never the morning.
PM.
Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next week.
Farewell.
Bye bye.
Ta ta.
Bye.
Au revoir.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.